Second.
From the interim director, Department of Family Care, submitting an informational report regarding the potential impact of the 2011-2013 state budget on the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning again, Ms. Ledger. Thank you for your patience this morning.
No problem. Good morning again, Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors. I prepared a report for you specifically about the potential implications of the budget bill on the Department of Family Care. As you just heard, the proposed enrollment caps are going to have quite a chilling effect on not only this program but on family care throughout the state of Wisconsin. We have received no detailed information from the State Department of Health Services about how these caps are to be managed. They had a conference call with all of the directors of all of the managed care organizations and weren't sure if they were going to try to administer these caps statewide, meaning potentially that a disenrollment in La Crosse could result in an enrollment in Milwaukee or vice versa, or if they were going to do them on a program-specific basis or on a geographic basis. So at that initial phone call, there were no details. There have been no details since that time. The Department of Health Services, the Office of Family Care Expansion, which is the office that oversees family care, has this as a directive from the secretary and the deputy secretary. But again, I don't believe that they have the details and haven't quite worked out how they envision this rolling out. So what we are trying to do at this point is to gather as much information as we can to see that we can enroll individuals prior to the cap taking effect. There wasn't even a some certain date when the cap itself would roll out. There was a date mentioned within the budget bill, but that may not be the date, but we're assuming for the sake of argument it's going to be end of June, 1st of July. But at the same time, again, you've heard that the cap will extend to family care programs, PACE, partnership, and IRIS. At the same time, Secretary Smith and Deputy Secretary Rhodes have expressed an interest in increasing enrollments into the state's self-directed supports program, into their IRIS program, threefold. So I don't know programmatically if the cap is for all of those programs, how the expectation is going to play out, that one will have an increase in enrollment, the others will not. There was a public meeting somewhere else in Wisconsin where they said that the caps may be lifted for some programs prior to sooner than the 2 years and not for others. But again, we don't have any details on how that's all going to roll out. We do know the potential impact for this department in terms of the loss of members and then the loss of capitation revenue, which not only supports member services but supports our administrative costs. The other issue that's also come to the fore was a conference call that the State Department of Health Services had, again, with all of the managed care directors, talking about the potential to remove transportation out of the benefit package for family care recipients, and they would then go through their transportation broker. When they had first rolled out the broker model, it was excluding Milwaukee County, excluding family care. They're thinking at this point they will not exclude this geographic area and will not exclude family care. But again, we don't have any firm details or time frames in terms of how they want to see that happen. But there is going to be some other going to be impact, not just on this department but on transit as well, if transportation comes out of the benefit package. Is there anything other any other points?
We're starting to develop a plan of action in the event of the disenrollments occurring. We're going to try to manage our budget accordingly. So we went back and looked, and we're averaging about 108 disenrollments over the last 5 months on average. So we're anticipating going by year end, going into the first part of next year, that could result in some adjustments to the department administratively. So.
And Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, one of the other things that we've pointed out to the state, and I pointed out to the Joint Finance Committee this week, was if rolling out an enrollment cap is seen as a way to maximize Medicaid savings. Again, you're going to be looking at people who have no services, who are going to be overusing emergency rooms, who are going to have very negative drug interactions because they no longer have a registered nurse to assist them in managing their acute and primary care. You are going to see individuals who are going to have no residential option other than nursing homes, not only adults enrolled in family care, but their elderly parents who are also enrolled in family care. So there's the potential for entire family systems to have to look at institutional settings rather than community-based settings. And not only is that sort of a breach of the commitment that we've made to our most vulnerable population, but if what you're concerned about is the bottom line, that isn't going to save anybody any Medicaid dollars.
Thank you. What limitations, if any, are on the department to notify our participants in mm-hmm. a way that we might hope to get them to as advocates on this issue? And you know, to obviously mm-hmm. it's a difficult situation because you don't want to confuse people, but yet. You know, how might we notify them in a manner that we can get their families involved in this? And
absolutely. Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, we've had a number of conversations on that topic. The quick answer is any communication that a managed care organization sends out to its members has to go through the State Department of Health Services for approval beforehand. That being said, I'm not sure that a communication like that would be a problem. With the Department of Health Services Office of Family Care Expansion, my bigger concern is the one that you raised, is that when you send a communication out, that it's very clear. We've had to send out very straightforward, fairly uncomplicated things on other topics and gotten lots and lots of phone calls in. So we're very cognizant of the fact that it has to be very, very understandable and readily accessible language. We have communicated to our care management units, our teams, so that the supervisors and the care managers and the nurses that work with people on a daily basis have the information, have, you know, the list of, we've told people, you know, if you want to have a voice in what this budget looks like, whether you have an issue with it or whether you're very supportive of it, this is the contact information for your state legislature. These are the places where you can go to public meetings so that people have a vehicle to express themselves. The other thing I wanted to add was there's been lots of comment. There have been lots of town hall meetings that Department of Health Services has had, as well as these budget meetings. And so they're soliciting input from a number of stakeholders. What we've seen come through from other associations and groups is advocating elimination of care managers and nurses. So looking at really pulling back on those supports that are available to members, those things that those individuals that are really instrumental in maintaining their health and safety in the community. There was one group that had said that a nurse is probably not important because there are nurses available to you when you reside in other settings. But we have lots and lots of family care members who live in their own homes who don't have a nurse available to them in their residential setting. So we see a real critical value in the role of that social worker and that nurse in working with people and keeping them safe in the community.
Ms. Ledger, do you have any idea at this point, and I wanted to ask Ms. Stein the same thing, about the economic impact this may have on your program or on Milwaukee County?
Yes. Right now, every individual who enrolls in the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care brings along with them their capitation payment. That's the amount of money that comes with each individual per member per month that supports their services and then the infrastructure of the Department of Family Care. That's about $2,800 a month for each individual that enrolls. So, and again, out of that amount, we use about 95% for member services. So we have a very low administrative cost. So if we're looking at a potential loss because of a stagnation in terms of our enrollments, every five people that we don't have that are no longer in this program represent a loss of about $168,000 a year to the department. And again, some of that is money we simply won't spend on services for people who don't enroll, but those are also salaries and our infrastructure costs, the things that we need to do to be able to maintain the program for the people that are still enrolled in it. Is there anything else in terms of the fiscal impact?
At this point. Oh, wait, there's one other. Just back to that paratransit, I think it's really important because in years past there were, and just recently with the 2011 budget, there were rate increases. So the likelihood of the benefit package removing transportation, there's a potential hole or void there for paratransit as well. I mean, we've been, or this program has been assisting in the reimbursement of some of those transportation services, so it's something that they probably need to be made aware of as well through this broker, because I don't know if they have an interest even in participating, but... The 2011 budget amounted to about $2.2 million additional revenue for paratransit this going forward this year. So,
Excuse me, Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, the other economic impact on the community, and not so much on the Department of Family Care, is because we have this very rich and diverse provider network of service providers. Group homes and home delivered meal agencies and transportation agencies, support of home care agencies, all of whom are beginning to be rightfully concerned about what their business model is going to look like if there are no additional enrollments into the program. It is no exaggeration to say that on a weekly basis I hear from a smaller group home in the community that's going to terminate their contract because they aren't able to fill their beds. I've got care management units who have been laying off social workers and nurses because there aren't enough members to assign them to. So this cap on enrollment is going to have a ripple effect throughout the community because family care has been an economic engine primarily for small businesses that have been providing very community-based services to our enrollees.
Supervisor
Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, the state had originally talked about a broker, and again, it had very little impact here because they had excluded Milwaukee County. But what they, and Jim Hodson can correct me if I'm wrong, if you look at it from a very simplistic viewpoint, there would be one dispatch coordinating transportation for individuals rather than having disparate agencies do that. So there would be that sort of, think of it as a centralized hub, and then they would be contracting with all of those transportation agencies. But again, as it rolled out, it had excluded Milwaukee County, it excluded family care, and we had already had this model in place where we care managers work with their members, figure out how many trips you're going to need on a monthly basis, put that authorization in, the transportation company gets paid. The way that they explained it to us on this, albeit very brief, phone call they had was, if we take transportation as a benefit away from people that are enrolled in family care so that they will contact that transportation broker will then coordinate transportation services for them and pay for them. So it will be separate from family care. You know, if you look at it on a very shallow level, it's like, well, that's one less thing for us to coordinate, and how can that be all bad? But I think the farther you remove something from the individual who needs that service, it makes it significantly more difficult if the transportation company doesn't show up, if they show up late, if they drop them off at the wrong address, and how do you, you know, what if you need something, you know, at the drop of a hat, an unexpected appointment occurs. So there's lots of devil in the details of how people get from one place to another. And I don't know that, again, centralizing it with a broker and removing it from the oversight of the care manager and the nurse that work with this individual on a daily basis is really the best way to either maximize your Medicaid dollars or, again, ensure that the person gets to the place they wanted to be in the first place. Is there more detail on that?
Okay. So
programmatically, I understand the challenge, challenges possible, or likely. But on the financial side, you were talking about the loss of the $2 million. Is it offset by not having that responsibility, or is it?
Well, Chairman West, Supervisor Lipscomb, presently, the Department of Family Care has within its network paratransit, Trans Plus, as one of our transportation providers. It's not the only one, but it's one of our larger transportation providers. What that would mean is we would no longer be contracting with them, and they would be on their own contract to reach out with the broker. Mm-hmm. We would no longer be a funding source for them. So in the 2011 budget, the County Board of Supervisors approved the rate increase for paratransit for the 2011 budget. That's what I was referring to for that $2.2 million. It was a rate increase from $10.80 to $15.80. I guess what I'm saying is with right now at the present time, we don't know the logistics behind this, but we wouldn't even know what the payment rate structures would be like that. Should, let's say, paratransit, Transit Plus contract with a broker, that would all probably have to be arranged through the broker and through the state at this point. So there's a lot of unknowns, I guess, is what I'm saying. And if everything is being cut back, I can't anticipate there'll be more dollars to fund the transportation system. Again, and I guess, you know, that's an assumption, but everything we've seen thus far in all other areas that we've been asked to do is we've been asked to do more with less with our existing program. So that's why I had shared that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I also don't think we can have this conversation without just pointing out that it's kind of a travesty that we have come so far with Milwaukee County with family care for our seniors, where we've absolutely eliminated the waiting list, and now we're putting ourselves in the situation where we'll be back at square one with that after working so hard. And with the expansion of family care to the disabilities community, you know, we were on target to eliminate a very huge waiting list, and we are now not going to be as successful as quickly as we had hoped with that either. And I don't think that's fair to them or to us. So.
And Madam Chair and County Board Supervisors, if I may, to add to your point, if you recall, when family care expanded in Milwaukee County in November of 2009, it was in Milwaukee County, as it was in no other county, that first year, instead of taking 1/24th of the existing wait list. Those first 12 months, we took a very small portion due to the state's budgetary constraints. So it wasn't really until the second year of expansion that we were able to really attack that wait list in earnest. If Milwaukee County had been allowed to take that much significantly larger portion starting in November 2009, we'd be in a very different position right now.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm number two.